The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
So our question today in our series is, am I offensive if I talk about Jesus? Now, to get at that question, I think we first have to think about that word offensive, because it has a lot of different layers of meaning. First meaning is to, according to the dictionary, is to cause someone to be deeply hurt, upset, or angry, to cause these bad feelings in someone. There's also something about the word offensive that can kind of just mean feeling indignant or like something's unfair. For example, in training for a race, I kept my mileage consistent for like a whole year in order to get ready for this race, and Pastor Michael did like nothing until 3 months before we were going to run, maybe two, and he could still run faster and further than I can. So I was a little offended, and I'm just going to say it's because of the height. Offensive can also, you might say something is offensive or when it has a strong smell or something that is kind of disgusting. Like maybe you've found congealed milk at the bottom of a coffee cup or a bottle before. I don't know if that's happened to you. It also is a word that's used to mean to act aggressive or to attack. So this can be a military term, or it can be a sports term, to use your offense, something we hope the Broncos pull together in the next season. It can also be used as to explain an organized campaign to achieve something, like in reference to a political campaign or social actions. So to go on the offensive is to take a position, to execute it, to play it, to live it out to its full extent. So when we're talking about who we are as Christians and the core of who we are, beloved by God, redeemed by grace, and sent to live out this mercy and grace in the world, we can think of this as an offensive approach, a sending, a commissioning to the world in love, that we are not called to be passive or to hide who we are, but to live in the light of Christ that guides us. And yet, to be offensive or to cause offense or to cause harm would not be the goal. The goal is not to force others into a defensive position. The goal is certainly not to be disgusting or attacking. And while we are an organized community who at times must stand and speak clearly the blessings of Jesus that we heard in the Beatitudes last week to the poor, outcast, and marginalized, the goal of our mission in Christ is to open doors, not close them, to honor and to hear our neighbor, not shut them out. So when we consider how we talk about Jesus, we bear in mind our identity, the promise of Jesus, and the opening of hearts and minds through our actions, our words, our listening, and our love. So as a pastor, I would say that my experience of simply stating what I do for a living has at times unintentionally offended people, or at least put them off, or made them uncomfortable. When my kids started school, I was not the mom the other moms were going to hang out with. I am often caught off guard with stares or kind of quizzical looks if I go to a store on a Sunday afternoon after worship, and it's really confusing until I remember what shirt I have on, and then I just kind of try to smile more brightly. And when we moved into our home in Wellington, we were greeted pretty warmly by the few people that lived right next to us. And then once my love of Jesus was revealed, well, we haven't really seen them since. But don't feel sorry for me, because it totally means I don't have to be on the HOA. So, got out of that one. Still, I did not really consider my profession offensive until Sophia, my oldest child, started high school last year. And she started making new friends of all different kinds of backgrounds, which, of course, we love and encourage. And first of all, that her mother was a pastor and her father a science teacher was like mind-blowing to some people. They felt like, how could that possibly be right? How could they ever even get along? How do science and faith go together? Now, of course, this totally confused her, because our faith does not dismiss science, nor does science dismiss the mystery of faith. And she's grown up with that worldview, a different worldview than what was out there for some of the people that she met about Christians. But one of the most confusing things that happened, or statements that was made to her, was someone who said, oh, wow, so your mom, since she's a pastor, she must really hate a lot of people. Don't Christians hate, like, Muslims and gay people? Oh, that was like a big ouch, and it definitely put me on the defensive. What? That's not me at all. How could they think that about me? That this is the first thing that popped into a young person's mind about religion. Honestly, heartbreaking. Now, fortunately, another friend of hers who knows me said at that moment, what? No, she like actually loves everybody. It's true. She totally put up with me for an entire choir field trip for a whole week. This is not just out there for pastors. It's a part of the world that we live in, a part of how Christians are portrayed, and a part of how some forms of Christianity actually believe and practice. And it is offensive. It's offensive to the gospel, it's offensive to those who end up on the side of persecution, and it's offensive to our Lutheran understanding and theology about who we are and who God is in this world. A friend of mine in Oregon has a podcast radio show, and she's had it for a few years, and it's called Stumptown Christian. Now, Stumptown is the local nickname for Portland, and she brought many different spiritual and religious and faith-filled speakers onto her show, and recently she decided to stop altogether for a while because she wanted to regroup, because she feels that she needs to change the name of the show. Not so much because she wants to change focus, but because she doesn't want to have anything to do with the word Christian. She feels that in her time and place, it turns people away. It communicates something of division and not unity. And so she wants to get rid of a label that she sees as offensive in a harmful way. Now, I have complete empathy for this response. I understand how she feels and where that comes from. But I also want to challenge it. Shying away, backing off from who we are, is like taking that light and hiding it just a little bit under the basket. And now is not the time for silence. Now is not the time to throw in the towel and become something or someone else. Now is the time to claim our voice and to claim our listening ears and to claim the passion and the message of grace that comes through Jesus. The open doors that come through Jesus, the refuge for those who are weary or hurt or outcast that comes through Jesus. And yes, this might be offensive, that God's grace is open and leaves no one untouched. God's grace can be offensive because it declares that you do not actually do anything to be a part of it, There is actually nothing you control about God. And God works beyond our human perceptions and strips our egos and our consistent efforts to make things fit how we want them to. Grace is offensive because it goes out in front and it lives God's promises and love and mercy all the way to the fullest extent. And you are called to bear witness to that offensive grace. In her book, Reclaiming the L Word, I meant to have it here to hold up, and the L Word is Lutheran, which we will be reading in Lent, and we encourage you next week to start signing up to be in a small group. The author, Kelly Fryer, asserts that the world needs what we have to offer, and silence is not an option. She writes, and I'm going to paraphrase some of what she writes, but she talks about on Palm Sunday, Jesus says that no one can be silent. You know, the crowds are told to be quiet, and he says no one can be silent because even the rocks are going to cry out in the name of God. And Jesus tells us, you will be my witnesses. Your job is to tell people about me, to invite them to come and get to know my Father. Your job is to feed my sheep and care for those in need and heal the sick and share with everyone who will listen to you the joy that comes from following me. Your job is to be my hands and feet, to be the salt that changes the way everything tastes, to be the light that shines in the darkness of the world. She continues and says, the church may be the only organization on the planet that exists entirely for the sake of the people who do not belong to it yet. This statement reminds me many years ago when my husband and I were traveling with friends in Namibia, Africa, and we took this overnight train to Swakopmund, this town on the coast, because we wanted to avoid the heat of the day on the train. And we did not know until we arrived that the train literally just stops at a platform in the middle of the desert. And others who got off had arranged rides, and because they knew that this is what happened. And before we knew it, we were alone in the dark on a train platform in the African desert. And I'm trying not to imagine the animals that might be out looking for dinner. Now, we could see the lights of the city in the distance, and we could see which way the cars drove off into the darkness. And so we didn't have a whole lot of choice. We just started walking towards the lights. About 5 miles, we think, that we walked. And just watching those lights and staying steady on them, letting them guide us, and it was like they were reaching out to us so we knew where to go, like an oasis and a promise of refuge. This is an image that I carry with me of the church, of Jesus' light, of why our faith matters and what it looks like to be a city on the hill, light in the dark, salt for the witness to the gospel. We are the light reaching out for those who don't even know it's turned on yet. We are a refuge, a witness to the promise that Jesus makes. And that promise is that you are the salt of the earth. That gift is that you are already the light for the world. Total, complete blessing and statement of who you already are and what you have to offer. Think about where in the past couple weeks you've been used as salt or light to offer a refuge like a city on a hill. Was it words of encouragement, sending a card to someone to let them know you were thinking of them, volunteering, faithfully working at your job to the best of your ability, or learning and studying in your school? Was it a hug given out, or listening well to another person's pain or another person's joy? What are the prayers you have offered? What organizations have you supported? How we are salt and light together may look different daily and person by person, but how and when we show up and speak up matters, not just for our own selves or our own community, but for the offensiveness of the gospel. There are big ways and there are small ways that we do this together. And as theologian David Lose says, a reminder that yes, any of these things may seem in and of themselves small, but please don't forget, small is what God uses most often to change the world. Will you offend others by talking about Jesus? Maybe. Are you called to live that promise of Jesus to the full extent? Absolutely. Silence is not an option. And the noise that we make by acting in love, listening in love, speaking with grace, having open hearts and minds is the very noise that changes us, opens us, and sets us free. Amen.